How do we avoid all contact with pain and sorrow? In order to avoid contact, one must avoid the division, the space. But if the space or the division is the truth or the reality, then you cannot avoid it. In other words, if sorrow is inherent in life, inherent in existence, then you cannot avoid it. Is it so? The yogi's answer is no. That unless a division is brought about, and a duality is brought about, experience is not possible. And duality is not existence. And if you challenge him, how do you know? He says, look at yourself when you are sleeping. When you are asleep, where was this pain? Where was this experience? Where was this world? Where were you? And this daily experience of sleep points to the possibility of the abolition of duality, an existence devoid of this duality. In sleep, the sleeper sleeps without even knowing that he is sleeping. Why is it so? Because the experiencer does not undergo a division within himself and create a thing called an experience, an object called an experience. In the best part of what we might do, we might use the word experience itself as an object, not as a predicate, making it a verb. Not to experience. Experience itself is an object. Tough. Funny. There is an experiencing which is the predicate. The experiencer is experiencer. The experiencing is inherent in consciousness, that is pure knowledge. The experiencer being endowed with knowledge, understanding, consciousness. Experiencing is inevitable to it. Knowledge is inherent in existence, knowledge is inherent in you. That is the only snag in sleep. And in sleep, that knowledge also is somehow veiled. Consciousness is somehow veils itself. Though it exists, it is there, it is veiled. So, the yogi regards experience itself as the projection of an object by the experiencer. So that, whereas taste is, let's say, pure experiencing, its classification into sweet and sour is a division. Arbitrarily, I don't know if this is true. Let's say you can cut my tongue and leave it on the table and sprinkle some salt on it. It's possible it can be kept alive for a little while. That some taste buds start doing this, and if you pour some pepper on it, it may do this. we turn itself down, it may reject it, it's frightened, and that sort of thing is possible. So the response of the taste buds to these things is common. But there is something else which says this is sweet, this is sour, I like this, I don't like this. That is what we call experience. The pure experiencing is inherent in consciousness, but experience does not exist. If there is no division at all, the experiencer is the experiencing. There is no division between the experiencer and the experience. It's pure experiencing. Then there is no division, there is no experience. And therefore there is no experience of pain. There is no experience of pleasure as we know of it either. This is one kind of sensation, that's another kind of sensation. And in order to enjoy the pleasure or suffer the pain, the experiencer has to create a division around himself, a space around himself. And it is only then that that experience is possible, made possible. It is a division that makes the contact possible. How to avoid the contact? The avoidance of this contact with pain, and therefore, and which means the avoidance of division. The avoidance of the avoidance of pain is its abolition. Tricky, isn't it? It is not what we usually say, grin and bear it. No, 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 no. No, no. Grin and bear it is endurance. There is still the division, and in that division you create a thing called endurance. But here it just is. There is no experience of pain because there is no division in that experiencing. How do you know this is possible? Sleep. In sleep this is possible, and therefore in waking also it is possible. When that happens, this is yoga. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samgitam. Yoga is the non-division, non-creation of a division in experiencing. The experiencing being synonymous with consciousness or knowledge. The non-creation of a division in this consciousness is yoga. It's not bringing two things together, two things together. No, no. It is the non-fragmentation, non-division at all. Why must I create a division and then bring about a union? Why must I first suggest that you and I are separate and that we should come together? We are one already. The we being two ends of the same thing. That recognition is yoga. Hence, Patanjali defines it as yoga chitta vritti nirodha. I think most of you know the official definition. Yoga is the suppression of mental modification. It sounds great. Suppression of mental modifications, that's the usual definition. But that sounds great and marvelous. In order to arrive at a proper understanding of this small little sutra, It's got only four words, of which three define one. Three words define one word. Yoga is the word. Chitta, vritti, nirodha. These three words define what yoga means. How does one know what chitta means? Chittam, observing, attending, thought, thinking, attention, desire, intention, aim, the mind, the heart, considered as the seat of the intellect, reason, intellect, reasoning faculty, thought, desire, the heart, the mind, anything. What is the heart and what is the mind? How did he arrive at all these? By studying the ways in which he thinks yogis used these words. Yogi. I've forgotten it. If you had not interrupted, I would have repeated. Yogis have used this word chittam in various contexts in very, very many different connotations, and the compiler of a dictionary has pulled out all those expressions and collected in here what he thinks must have been the meaning in which that yogi used that expression in that context. Isn't it how we derive the meaning of a word? Chittam, let's say it's the mind. It's clear, isn't it? Huh? It's the mind. Now, what is the mind? He says, come to my library. In order to understand what the mind is, he's got about 200 or 300 volumes on mind. What is the mind? What exactly is the mind? Can you, yeah, you are, the cap. Can you give me a little bit of mind? Here is the mind, or the heart, which is supposed to be the chittam. Chittam is supposed to be here, the heart. What is chitta? Chitti is consciousness. Chitti is knowledge. What is consciousness? What is knowledge? Do I know knowledge apart from the common usage that I know you? I know you? No. I know your name. Which part of you is the name? So, knowing your name, knowing your address, knowing your passport details, knowing the color of your hair, means nothing. Nothing at all, absolutely nothing. Do I know what knowledge means? Knowledge, what is knowledge? Not what it is to know, the function of knowledge. Not what it is to know, the function of brain. Not what it is to know, the functioning of the mind. And as a matter of fact, we don't even know very much about the functioning of the normal or the healthy mind. We know a lot more about the unhealthy mind, sick mind, aberrations. That's another extraordinary thing. Without learning really about a healthy mind, we are more terribly worried about the unhealthy mind and find everything in I, the whole lot, the whole world mad, abnormal. What is knowledge? I'm not interested in who is normal, who is abnormal. I'm not interested in the normal mind or the abnormal mind, supernormal mind, subnormal mind. I'm not interested in the subconscious mind, superconscious mind. What is mind? Or what is knowledge? What is consciousness? Not I know you. I know you is a... It is totally meaningless expression. In which neither the I is known nor the you is known, nor do I know what knowledge means. I know a description of you that someone else gave me. Is that right? I know a description of you that someone else gave me. Mm-mm. Even that is wrong. I know what I understood him to mean when he gave what I thought was an expression of you. Is that right? I don't even know what he was telling me. And to complicate matters, I know what he said to me in a certain mood, when he was in a certain mood on the full moon day. And which was the opinion that he formed of you when you were in a bad mood or a good mood or whatever it is. And that opinion was transmitted to me when I was in a bad mood also. And so from this, from what he said of you when you were in a bad mood and what he read of you when he was in a bad mood, I know, or I think I know, or I think I heard properly. And I was myself in a bad mood, I was terribly distracted. And from what little I've heard of all this complication, I know you. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. So, can we abolish the whole lot, everything? Me and my opinions, he and his opinions, you and your opinions, me and my changing moods, and he and his changing moods, and you and your changing moods. Can we abolish all that? Then do I know you at all? No. My God, I don't know who I am. And in what mood I am at this moment, at this time, when I am discussing this, when I am looking at you. Can we completely drop this I and you and let this knowledge alone prevail? That is called chittam.